I think it is now time to start. We welcome Professor Rüdiger Wolf, who is in connection from München. We thank you very much for offering this lecture to our project. This is a project supported by the European Union, the purpose of which is to introduce researchers all over the university into the usage of supercomputers. The participants of these projects come from several universities of Hungary, from Debrecen, Pécs, Szeged, and there is a group also in Budapest. In the recent lectures, we have learned something about the hardware of the supercomputers, and now we are eager to learn something about the softwares which are usable on these machines. So thank you very much again for this lecture, and now I give you the word. Professor Rüdiger Wolf, Silicon Graphics International from München.
So thank you for this very kind introduction. It's my pleasure to be here to talk about the SGI ultraviolet software ecosystem. You have multiple ultraviolet systems in Hungary. We have one system at NIIF, so it's a pleasure to present about the software. Can we have the next slide, please? When we talk about software, we typically present the entire software stack. The software stack for the ultraviolet system, which is the, by incidence, also the SGI high-performance computing software stack, consists of components that are used to manage one system, to manage a cluster of system, which is the green bar on the left. It also includes system software and tools that are used by the end users, the programmers, which is the development suite, which is in the upper bar, which is the SGI development suite. But we also have a suite of tuned software, which is on the right, which is the SGI performance suite. We are optimizing the software for all of our SGI systems, but in particular for the SGI ultraviolet systems. We have all the software on the SGI is running on a Linux operating system. We have a set of drivers and general utilities that is running in the foundation-based software. Apart from that, between the foundation software and the development suite, we have storage management software, which we are not talking about today. This is a different topic. So if we go to the next slide, I present today's topics. We talk about the NUMA layers in the foundation software. We talk about the development suites, and in particular, we spend some time talking about the SGI performance suites with the products we have in that area. In total, this is the most important set of software that users of the ultraviolet system need to be aware of, and I will have some examples to give details why this is important, and using this software enables you to get the very best performance you can get on the system. And we go to the next slide. So we're building all our systems based on a Linux operating system. We are using mostly two distributions, the one from Red Hat and the one from SUSE. Both have the same functionality, but the scalability in both Linux distributions is somewhat different. The Red Hat 6.3 scales to 2048 cores and 16 terabytes, while with the SLES 11 we can scale to 2048 cores or 4096 threads using the hyper-threading mechanism, and also 16 terabytes in the UV1000 system and 64 terabytes in the UV2000 system. What does this mean, scaling up to 2000 cores? This means that you can run a system with that many cores with just a single instance of the Linux operating system. So you just have one kernel running, covering the entire hardware and the entire memory of that system. Since all the changes that we need in order to support a CCNUMA system are already in the base Linux kernel, you can make use of all the software that is available. In particular, you can use virtualization in form of KVM, where the limit is 1,280 cores and 16 terabytes, or you can have a guest OS where a limit is given by 64 cores for that guest OS. So all this is the basis for all software that we're using. And we go to the next slide. The next slide is the most important one, because this contains the functionality that we are using to dock into kernel functions that are already in the kernel, but are only used when you use the right kernel module. So the kernel modules, that is part of this software. So what it means in terms of hardware, all the hardware support is in here. The most important feature here is that all hardware events are being tracked by certain monitors. So if anything happens to any hardware component in a running system, we get to notice this by getting a hardware event in here. The most important hardware is the memory of a shared memory computer. So we get in particular the monitoring notification that in case a memory is broken. This can be also sent by email to the staff of your system, but it can also be forwarded to the SGI Management Center, which is the management platform for a bigger system, for multiple systems. So you have one point in the management center where all the errors are being tracked and all the functions are being displayed that are impacted. Since memory is in SMPs quite big and you have many memory components, so we have implemented as SGI multiple techniques to continue operating a system in case a memory DIMM or a chip on a DIMM is being impacted. So for example, we do a predictive failure analysis. So when the system is running, we monitor such instances when the application or a kernel has to reread the data from a chip. This is nothing problematic. It only gets problematic when it has to read it for thousands of times and eventually fails to read the data from that chip. In that case, when a certain counter is exceeded of such failed attempts to read memory, then we move all the data that is on that DIMM, on that chip, to another empty location, and we discontinue to use that chip. By doing this, we can keep the system up and running for a much longer time than having to wait for the eventual case when the memory location cannot be read anymore. This feature is part of the memlog feature, which does memory error logging. When we log an error, we try to identify and try to resolve the situation in such a way that we can keep the system up and running. For example, if an application is using a DIM that is failing, then we could take the choice of just failing the application. Then the batch system will handle the situation. We could do a checkpoint restart at the application. And so this is the memory error logging feature that helps us to keep the system up and running and not fail at a instance where just the memory is being impacted. We're using some functions that are part of the hardware, and we're the most advanced user of such capabilities in the SGI software environment. The hardware tracking monitors also take care that the system doesn't overheat, so it takes precaution that the system is always guaranteed to be healthy and doesn't get impacted by anything. The foundation software also has some boot time utilities that we can use to set some commands, command line options to optimize the system performance. Such optimizations can be, for example, to reserve a certain number of large memory pages. Using large pages is particularly good for any databases, but also for dealing with any large problems, because you're impacting you're not impacting the processor so much when it has to look for a large set of memory to work with. We go to the next slide, please. So we start off with the development suite. The development suite for Linux software is the SGI Performance Suite, which is a big chapter in today's presentation, but it also includes the Intel Composer software, Intel Composer XE. That is a set of compilers and libraries, scientific libraries, but also tools to debug and to do performance analysis on applications. We're not talking today a lot about Intel software. Intel does best talking about this software. It is just that this is the recommended compiler set in the SGI development suite. For debugging, we are recommending the Rogue Wave or TotalView team software. This is the best tested software. In particular, it allows to detect memory leaks and helps analyze threaded and MPI applications written with C, C++, and Fortran applications. We go to the next slide, please. So the SGI Performance Suite is built on four pillars. The SGI Accelerate software. The Accelerate software is a set of libraries and tools that help users and administrators to accelerate the application workload on a system. The SGI MPI is just SGI's implementation of the MPI. Then we have a set of real-time tools. That's the React tool. We're not covering the React tool set today. We just mention it for completeness. It is used in real-time systems. Real-time systems are, for example, training systems for pilots. One very prestigious training set in Europe is the Eurofighter training system, which is running on SGI system, and they make use of the SGI React toolset that provides them a close interactions between visuals and the pilot's reactions. The third set is SGI Unified Parallel C compiler, which SGI has optimized for the ultraviolet and for the InfiniBand-based ICE-X system. The Unified Parallel C compiler is SGI-owned development that's being carried forward. So we go on. I mentioned just that the the purpose of this performance suite is to provide the best performance for standard-based and Linux applications. We go to the next slide, please. Next slide, please. Let's look at the tools and applications and libraries that are part of the Accelerate package. Let's look at the runtime. When you have a runtime with many complex applications, what you would like to do is departmentize the resources. Also, sometimes this is called the CPUs, the soft partitioning or CPU set software. By help of the CPU set, we can optimize the CPU and memory utilization and of a big NUMA system, and we can bind memory and CPU resources together to define the ecosystem in which a job lives. Next, the NUMA tools. We need NUMA tools because the Ultraviolet system is a CC NUMA system. NUMA stands for non-uniform memory architecture. The system is built from blocks of CPUs and memory, and the blocks are being tied together by the SGI NUMA Link interconnect. Having such a heterogeneous assembly, you need some tools to place the threads you're generating and the data you're using in the most optimal way. And that's why we have a set of NUMA tools, and I'm going into the tools later on. Finally, what you have in any Linux system is a so-called Linux operating buffer cache. When you do a data mining job, for example, through weather data, and you do a positioning of your read position in a big file, the data are virtually being pushed through the memory, through the buffer cache of the system. Also, it's very difficult to for the accounting system to really tell, is that buffer memory, is that part of the system, is that part of the application? That's why we have the FFIO, Linkless Flexible File IO tool, which can be used to buffer Fortran applications and appropriate C applications in a user-defined space, and therefore the allocation is better, and you can tune the data mining applications with this tool quite well. All the big CAE applications, from Nastran to Abacus and anything else, are using this flexible file IO. It is implemented into the applications, but it also helps general user applications by using a user-defined data cache and not going over the system buffer cache. Then we have a number of tools by which you can observe the activities on your system. SGI is calling that collection of tools the Performance Copilot. We have about 1,200 observables in a Linux environment, which we can collect and write to disk. So at any point in time, you could go back and say, what happened last night at 2 a.m. With a system just before it crashed, and you can analyze this, whether this was a misbehaving application, a misbehaving user, or simply a hardware fault. This data is not only kept and analyzed, but also it is being visualized on a tool. You can use this for operators to watch the state of the system, but we also have application plugins. For example, we have a MPI plugin, so you can see the life while the application is run, a pattern of your MPI applications, what calls are being used, whether there is anything in the real-time scenario that is not running optimally. Since the ultraviolet system has a in-network processor, which is part of the so-called hub chip, we have an instruction set that is being accessible to end users by help of the GRU Lab Global Resource Unit library. This library moves data between the hardware blocks in our system most efficiently. It can access the data as contiguous blocks, but it can also move data randomly. This is the global reference unit, which is most important for using the ultraviolet system. The MPI application is already using this. MPI library is using this. Some database applications might profit if you go directly and use this type of library. Then we keep a set of, in SGI Solve, we keep a set of fast sparse matrix solvers. These solvers are just using OpenMP, so they run on a shared memory system. So this is best designed for the ultraviolet system. Some third-party packages use this library, but you might use this library also for your own sparse matrix problems. We go to the next slide. So we go a little bit more into details on the CPU sets. The CPU sets helps manage processor and memory affinity. We can use options to constrain a processor to use a certain amount of memory, but not more than that, by defining a set of CPUs. We can use the CPU set together with the hyperthreading that is offered in modern processor. It soft partitions the system, and partitions can be created and deleted dynamically. The batch system, for example, PBS Pro, but also the MOAB Torque system can use this dynamically. This helps you to get the very best out of the system. Why you should use CPU sets? You should use CPU sets because unless you confine a job into a certain domain, which is cores and memory, there might be a situation that a job is using more memory than it has initially planned, means specified in the job statement. And other applications might be impacted because they are relying on that memory is still available. The NUMA tools is the second big set. The NUMA tools are kind of interacting with the CPU sets. So when you are using NUMA tools within a CPU set, the available space is only the number of the resources that are available in that CPU set. So this is a homogeneous system. The most important tool is the dplace set. The dplace helps a user to place the processes where they need them. If you have an application and that is running using a certain amount of memory on different nodes in the system or different blocks in the system, you can use the command dlog, and it shows you the hardware address, sort of the layout of the memory, so the user can inspect how he is using the memory and whether he's doing excessive remote accesses or whether the access pattern is optimal. We go to the next slide, please. So by help of the dplace statement, you can do NUMA tuning. You can, in particular, tie processes to a particular CPU. Today's MPI implementations, either Intel MPI, MVA Pitch, or something, or anything, any other MPI library, they do automatic placements. But if you don't use MPI, then your processes will wander, migrate across the system. They will jump the CPUs on every scheduling cycle of the OS. So when you lose the and jump to a different processor, you lose cache affinity. So you have to reload the content of the cache again to the new position. Your latency, because the memory doesn't migrate with the job, the memory access takes longer, and the bandwidth might be impacted. So pinning is a good thing because it helps you to get predictive performance. And here's an example, dplace minus CPU minus C25 A.out. We'll place A.out to run on the core, logical core 25. The argument behind the C can be any list of arguments. So it can have, like in the next example, a span 8 to 15, 40 to 47, to really position the tasks there where you want to have them. Without explicit placement or CPU sets, you get unpredicted performance. Your resources, your runtimes will vary quite a bit, and the resource is not optimally used. We go to the next slide, please. The soft partitioning by help of a batch system is very good. It's the best practice we recommend. We have assigned in the NUMA system a logical name for each CPU. Within a CPU set, the CPU numbering starts again so that you can use the dplace set within a CPU set. And you can use them also from an API. This might be the case if you have a very complex workflow where you create processes dynamically throughout your application, then you use the API to place the tasks where you need them. And you can use command line to create them. Examples for creation of CPU sets are at near the bottom. You can create multiple CPU sets for multiple applications. So when you run a batch job, you can actually run multiple applications, and you can define the resources you want to run. The CPU set A has 2 cores, CPU set B will have 6 cores, CPU set C will have 4 cores, and by CPU set minus IA, you can start application 1, IB can start application 2, I3, you can start the application 3, and it will have a non-interleaving set of cores, and you will get the very best performance using either CPU set or the dplace command to place your data on the machine. We go to the next slide, please. There is one option that is most often being used for the CPU set command, and that is the exclusive option. So when you do a batch system, then you can decide, or the user even can decide, that that set of CPUs and the associated memory is exclusive to a user, which means that no other user can use any bytes from that particular set of memory and cores. That's CPU exclusive and mem exclusive. Sometimes on very big systems, you want to have some space where you run the OS, where you run the daemons. This is called the boot CPU set. Typically, systems beyond 100 cores have CPU sets. Smaller systems don't need a boot CPU set. So this is even to confine the OS function in one particular space of the system. The batch systems, as I mentioned, use this CPU set option to soft partitioning the machine. We go on to the next slide, please. Next slide, please. For an end user, the best he needs to know, the best technique he needs to know about is the first touch policy in an UMA system. The first touch policy means that when a process allocates memory, then the data is being written very close to where that on that node where that process is running on. In an UMA system, this is a well-defined area. System pages get allocated on the physical node, on the physical memory, on those NUMA nodes where that process is running on. And so if you want to run an application in parallel, it is important that the data have been allocated right there where the processes are running. An example, we go to the next slide. We first go to the example at the bottom. We have an application, a Fortran application in this instance, but for C, it's the very same thing. You read data from a file, A from I to N. And all the data will be placed at that node where that reading process is running on. So this, if you want to then process these data in a parallel manner in OpenMP program, you will not benefit from the parallelism very much because all the data is just on that node. You have multiple nodes that you want to use, then you have to all access, all processes have to access that one node. A simple trick is to use an OpenMP loop to parallelize the initialization of the array before you read the data. So I do an OpenMP parallel do and initialize the array. In this particular situation, it is a equal distribution of the data across all nodes. And so every node will have a part of the data. And if I use the data in the very same way, then I get a good, very good performance. So if reading is only done by one thread, then all the data will be near the node where that thread is running on. And that is the first touch principle. You can optimize this by using the distribution of the data before the read statement. And this is one benchmark trick we most often apply on ultraviolet systems to get a good performance out of the application. We go to the next slide, please. There is also the dplace function that can have that has an option that allows users to define how the memory layout of an application has to be. For example, you want to allocate 4 gigabytes and you have 4 nodes, then in the dplace set you can create 4 threads. That's a symbolic statement, and then you initialize the first gigabyte on the first thread, and so on. This way you get a predefined page layout in the system. You use this kind of allocation scheme for databases or for codes where you do not know exactly how the memory layout will look like. This could be, for example, for a sparse matrix solver. You get some parallelism into the application this way because all the data is being distributed and the CPUs can get the data from wherever they need to have them. So we go to the next slide, please. Yeah, we get to the FFIO library once more. The linkless FFIO is a very nice tool to optimize the performance. You can have environment variables that can be set to define the region of memory you want to use to for I/O buffers. You can also give a trend of what the application is going to do with this data. For example, you can say that all the data will be read contiguously, all data will be written contiguously. But you could also say that all the data will be accessed randomly. So this is a kind of an optimization you have that enables you to get the very right I/O pattern in your application simply by defining an environment variable. It is typically much faster to go into a predefined user-defined memory region than to use the Linux I/O buffer cache for intensive data mining applications. We'll go to the next slide, please. The last piece of the foundation suite is of the Accelerate suite is the SGI Solve FastSPAR solvers. In particular, we have PSLDLT SPAR solver, and we have integrated different iterative solvers. We have for very large problems, we have integer data types of 32-bit and 64-bit. There are I4 versions for the 32-bit integer versions and I8-bit for very big solvers that need very large linked lists to work with. So these solvers can be used to optimize applications. These solvers are optimized for CCNUMA architecture and have been with SGI for a long time and are used for third-party applications. We continue to the next slide, please. The LiteGRU is a hardware that is a software that accesses the global resource unit hardware. It can be used for copying data from one place to another. It can be used for strided or indexed memory access, and you can have up to 128 transfers happening at the same time in global memory. For normal users, you don't have to use them because SGI MPI will use them automatically. SGI UPC uses them automatically within the UPC compiler environment. But if you have a particular problem, you can go to this library to implement that random pattern, that big data movement that you need in your application. We continue. So the SGI MPI environment is the next piece of software we pay some attention to. It's an open software that is compliant to the MPI 2.2 standard. We also have in the SGI MPI package the open shared memory message passing API. With MPI, you have a full context that's being applied to the software when you run the MPI application. With OpenShMEM, you just exchange pointers between different applications so you can direct access the data. This is kind of what MPI tries to use with the one-sided MPI calls. OpenShMEM is a historic piece of software, but can be used to optimize latency-sensitive parts in application. With the usual integration pieces like array services for very high, very fast fan out of MPI applications, but also secure transmission of signals. the SGI API has some runtime tools that are very interesting. There is the perf boost tool, because sometimes you get third-party applications that are written either with platform MPI, Intel MPI, or any other MPI implementation. Then you can use perf boost to translate, for example, the platform MPI calls into SGI MPI calls, so that they're executed as SGI MPI calls, and then use the global resource unit hardware acceleration mechanisms. So without this hardware acceleration, without perf boost, the performance of platform MPI and the other MPIs may not be optimal, in particular when big data are moved throughout the system. For smaller jobs, it may not impact so much, but for bigger jobs, it definitely impacts. And in that cases, we use perf boost to accelerate other MPI implementations. A user can still use the other MPI software on the system, but the very best performance is only guaranteed with SGI MPI, and perf boost may just be the vehicle to intercept the MPI calls and execute them as SGI calls. Another very nice tool we have is we have checkpoint restart for SGI MPI applications. Checkpoint restart works within Altair PBS Pro batch management. So this is a very good combination and saves you the application, the computed cycles of the application when you have to do a system restart. The performance features as that we have minimized the memory usage in the SGI MPI. We only use about 80 megabytes per MPI process. So this, by help of this, we can scale to 100,000s of cores. We can use multiple InfiniBand networks. We can use tools to fan out MPI traffic to multiple InfiniBand fabrics. And this applies to ICE-X clusters, but also to ultraviolet systems with InfiniBand to connect to other systems. We go on to the next page. We have some profiling tools that we package with the SGI MPI software. There is some simple tools and some more sophisticated tools. The Perf Catcher profiling tool is collecting the number, the functions, and that you are calling from the MPI software stack, and giving you information about the minimum message size, the maximum message size, and the number of calls you have used to that particular MPI call. This can give you quite fast overview of the number of calls to this function, and it also records the average execution time. A more sophisticated tool is the MPI Insight profiling tool. With the MPI Insight tool, we can model the MPI communications traffic, and we can even predict the performance for other interconnects. And this is a very important tool that SGI uses in the sales process, and we make it also available to you. MPI Place is another tool. If you have a very big system, then you may encounter a pattern where two processes are communicating quite often, and they are far away in a topological sense. Then you could reorder the MPI ranks such that the most communicating MPI processes are on the same node or on the same core set or are very close to each other. In order to do this, we do a test run to get to measure the pattern in the MPI application. Then we run an optimizer that finds the best pattern, and then you have the best pattern for your production runs. We provide header files and module files for Intel compiler, for Portland Group compiler, GCC, and possibly also for GFORTRAN. At least that's in the works. We are working very well with TotalView and Alinea DDT debuggers, and we interact with the workload schedulers from Altair, PBS Pro, Adaptive, Moab, Slurm, and even Platform LSF. Go to the next slide, please. A few words about MPI Perf Boost. When the application is being developed, the application binaries created by linking to shared libraries from third parties, for example, MPI, from Platform MPI, Intel MPI, and others. At runtime, however, we can intercept the MPI call by a shim library, which is a small layer that intercepts the calls, and we can translate this into the SGI message passing library and execute this there. This works well for a number of applications, and we see very good results using this. And particular on the Ultraviolet platform, it provides a very good means to give the SGI Ultraviolet hardware benefit to third-party MPIs by using PerfBoost. We go on with the next slide, please. Yeah, we have the Berkeley checkpoint restart implemented, and we can save the job state and restart from that job state at a later time. We can pause the communication and can even send images across the cluster and restart on a different part in that system. It is also supported on the Ultraviolet and supports the Ultraviolet GIU, particularly for the sending of the big data in throughout the system. We continue to the next slide, please. MPI Insight is a tool where we can just determine the communication pattern. We can replay the communication at any time to find any shortcomings in the communication pattern. This is a very effective tool because we don't need a lot of resources like create big disks files like the Vampire tool is doing, but we get a simple text output that we can use to generate spreadsheets and charts later on. Next slide, please. The features we have is we evaluate each communication and record the time that it takes. And in particular, we try to find out for some processes that are lagging in speed, the other processes on the system. We also manage the monitor the synchronizing times, especially for the collective MPI functions. Sometimes you can find out very easy ways from this to optimize your application. We can model asymptotic application performance, for example, by analyzing the latency or the bandwidth conditions. We can report the communication time per MPI function and from which part of the source this MPI function is being called from. This is the most useful feature, and provide detailed breakdown of I/O, for example, and throughout an application. So we get an information for each MPI rank, and but also can have a summary on a per file base in case of I/O. Go to the next slide, please. With MPI Place, we take the profile data, for example, obtained from MPI Inside. We get a list from the batch scheduler. We have a topology if you have a different, if you have a non-trivial topology like a 3D torus or a hypercube. From that, we can build a rank to node mapping, MPI rank to node mapping, and we can optimize that MPI rank to node mapping for use with MPI later. We look in particular to minimize the inter-node communications, but also the inter-switch transfer efficiency to minimize the blocking of transfer congestion. And we can improve the performance of applications using this by up to 40% using some 3D finite difference stencils. So it's a very important tool for optimizing on ultraviolet systems, but also on clusters. Go to the next slide, please. Yeah, this is one reminder of the parallel global shared memory languages, global address space languages for advanced parallel computing. SGI has written a compiler for the unified PAL C. We can use this as it is on the SGI. We're trying to use the Core A Fortran compiler from Intel and use the UPC-like communication layers to actually get the benefit of the GRU hardware, of the ultraviolet hardware, also for the Core A Fortran application. This is work underway, but should be done by now. Next slide, please. The Unified PLC can use the UV hardware by using the MPI offload engine. It supports the NUMA link. We can address very large sets of processes, larger than 256 terabytes. We can scale over InfiniBand or on clusters. We have a feature to vectorize certain loops to improve the performance. We can either use the Intel C++ compiler to generate the code or the GCC compiler. We have a debugger for this by using the Alinea DDT debugger. We're ready to port everything on this software also to the Xeon Phi for native execution. Go to the next slide, please. For workload management system, I mentioned several times there are two commercial packages that we highly recommend, which is Altair PBS Pro and the Adaptive Computing MOAB software. Both are very good in connection with the ultraviolet, provide very good workload scheduling and also accounting features that you need in order to account the resources being used on your system. Both use the CPU set features, and your users in addition can use the dplace functions to get the very best placements of their jobs in a CPU set. Next slide, please. We have a set of tools we call the Perf Suite. The Perf Suite is a tool that SGI can distribute on the support folio for free. The Perf Suite was developed by NCSA, but we have the right to distribute this to SGI customers. It is a set of tools that allows a performance counter analysis of applications. So the first thing we need to apply is the Perfmon 2 patch to the Linux kernel. This is no longer required in case of SLES. I actually don't know in case of Red Hat whether they have it in. Last I heard, I think it was not in there. In case of SLES, this is already part of the OS. Then using that patch, we can generate some high-level libraries using the PAPI toolset. So this allows to measure some hardware performance counters like floating points used, but also cache misses or memory loads and stores, the PAPI events using the PAPI toolset. The purpose of the perf suit is something to build a software layer that is even more integrated and can be used even to analyze full applications and not just get an aggregate for an application. One such tool is the Profile PL. Profile PL is a Perl script that can run using the above patch, and you get a profile of your application, but also associated with a profile is a performance counter. So for example, you could run Profile PL, and you can define up to 4 performance counters you want to measure. Good performance counters could be, for example, floating point operations, but the most interesting ones are the ones why CPUs are being stalled or why caches are being missed or the number of memory transactions you have done in your applications. And you get this associated with the compute intensive parts of the application. So you can read these 4 counters throughout the profile being generated by the Profile PL script. Next slide, please. VNC8 package provides a program launcher, PSRun. So you start your application using PSRun. You have defined some environment variables where you have defined the observables. You get a report for each process. At the end, you want to process the data. You use the command line post processor, the PS process, and then you get a result that gives you the information for your application or for the parts of the application you have instrumented. This package works with pthreads, OpenMP, or any MPI that's available. It produces timer profiles, which are associated in the very same way with the counters that this application has measured. And like with a Profile PL. And we take care of the library. We provide the ready-to-go build set so that you don't lose any time building this libraries yourself, taking the original source code from NCSA. We use very little memory to run this, so you have also very low overhead. So you can use this with your big applications to measure the performance profile with respect to some of the performance counters so that you can learn about what your application is doing, how your application is doing the is using the CPU and the memory in the system. You can actually also do a call stack profiling. This is something SGI has added to Perf Suite. The call stack is a cross-reference, who was called by whom, how often, and for what arguments. And we also did some bug fixes to the original package. With a combination of MPI Insight, which provides you an MPI analysis, and the NCSA Perf Suite package, you have a coverage also of the instructions that are running on the processor set. So a combination of both gives you complete analysis capabilities of applications on your system. Next slide, please. Here are some examples how to use the Perf Suite PSRun and can give some arguments. the configuration is in the XML or in the environment variable. You can start it with MPI. You see some hints how to use this with an environment variable. And with PS process, you can generate an XML file that you can further process with some tools that handle XML files. So you can use it in Excel, can use it in Word, you can plot it and can see the results in the very best way. Next slide, and I think I'm finished. Yes, so the time is up. And I would like to say thank you for your time to the audience. And I think now it's time to ask for questions.
Professor Wolf, we thank you very much for your very interesting lecture. This was a very important contribution to the success of our project. Now I ask our colleagues if there are some questions. Some questions? Zoltan?
I would like to ask you about massive parallel processing architecture softwares. So you had a presentation about SMP, NUMA architecture, the computer situated in Page. Are these softwares available and running on the MPP architecture situated in Debrecen as well, or not?
Yes. So this software stack that SGI has is uniformly available. So the D-plays, the CPU set, for example, is also available in the ISX massively parallel system. On a 16-core Sandy Bridge node, you wouldn't really need a CPU set, but you could use the D-place feature there very well, because the user owns the node and he can place the processes in the order in the way he wants to place them there. So this set of tools is fully used throughout product lines from SGI plus massive parallel ISX to shared memory systems. Only the GIU, the Global Resource Unit, is specific to the ISX, and we're looking forward to port all this also to the Xeon Phi platform that makes the machine even more massive parallel, the ISX as well as the ultraviolet system.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there further questions? If there are no further questions, then I thank you very much again for the very interesting talk. We are very proud to have a supercomputer from Silicon Graphics. We shall report on the usage of it, of course, during the time, and we wish you success in your future scientific and financial work. So thank you very much again. Thank you very much for your lecture.
Yeah, thank you. And I would like to thank you and the audience again for spending the time with me in going over the software products this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. És akkor most még a kollégákhoz szólnék röviden. Azt lenne a tiszteltelés kérdés, hogy már most ne adjátok föl. Tehát nagyon sok szépet. Zoli, különösen a te válaszaid, ugye?
Persze.
Tehát ugye nagyon sok szépet megtanultunk a hardware-ról, most a szoftverről, ugye ez nem a mi, nem én magam, ez nem az én szinten volt. Tehát ezek rendszerprogramok voltak, de Zoltán azt ígérte, hogy már az egy hét, tehát kedden, most van kedd, pénteken nem lesz előadás, mert összetorlódtak a dolgok és nem sikerült időben megszervezni, hanem már az egy hétre kedden, akkor, hogyha lesznek hosszú, újra eljönni, Odáig szeretnék eljutni, hogy a pestiek a NIFI valamelyik munkatársának az előterjesztésébe. Megnézzük, hogy lehet bejelentkezni, és valamilyen egészen földön járó felhasználói szintű programot mondjuk a minkről elindítani. Tehát ez a minimális terv következő kedre. Közben folyamatban vannak a jelszavaknak a generálása, valószínűleg az még egy hét a nagy részük meg lesz. De azt szeretnék ténylegesen, hogy mire eljön a május 1-e, addigra ténylegesen mindenki tevékenyen hozzá tudjon állni a szuperszámítógéphez. Zoltán, kiegészítés?
Igen, abszolút egyetértek elnök úr a mondataiddal, tehát nyilván most abban az állapotban vagyunk, hogy néhányaknak, hát egyéb más csatornán keresztül volt lehetőség, vagy kértek azonosítót, mások ugye a projekten belül fogják megkapni az azonosítójukat, és nyilván hát ez egy processzálási időt jelent az NIF oldaláról, viszont nyilván nem állunk meg a tanfolyamokkal, tehát jövő kedden akkor azokat a lépéseket fog kérni az NIF részéről bemutatni, hogy akár a Linuxos kliensgépeken, akár a Windowsos kliensgépeken milyen programokat kell telepíteni, hiszen ugye itt most rendben megvannak a saját kis lokális szoftvereink, de ugye a nagy erőforrás gépeknek az eléréséhez, hát ilyen speciális csatornákat kell kiépíteni, és ugye a klasszikus lehetőség az, hogy kapunk egy karakteres felületet, ami nyilván a Unix parancsokat kiadhatjuk, és nyilván egyéb karakteres felületen akár szoftvert is fejleszthetünk, de az érdekesebb és izgalmasabb rész, amikor a grafikus feletet kapjuk, és nem X11-es, tehát X-Windows-os feletet, hanem annál gyorsabb, tehát ilyen VNC, Virtual Network Connection kapcsolatot. Most ennek ugye a mikéntjét, a lehetőségeit azt meg fogják mutatni, nem borzasztóan nehéz, nyilván egy picit másabb lesz, mint amit esetleg eddig, akik nem használtak, tapasztalhattak, hanem egy picit ilyen trükkösen kell beállításokat végezni. Nyilván rögzítjük a videót, és akkor akár utólag is, amikor az illető kollégák megkapják a saját névre szóló azonosítójukat, akkor meg fogják tudni a videófilm alapján csinálni azokat az installációkat a saját gépükre, akár Linux, akár Windows, hogy utána meg be tudjanak jelentkezni a gépbe. És akkor ugye, ha ez is megvan, akkor nyilván további szoftver irányba lépünk, ahol ugye a különböző párhuzamos programozási technikákat szeretnénk látni. Tehát ugye láttuk a vasat, megpróbálunk ugye közelebb lépni, bejelentkezni, utána meg bent dolgozni fog kelleni, tehát utána már ugye a szuperszámítógép specifikus lehetőségeket, és itt erőteljesen a párhuzamos programozási technikák jönnek elő, ezeket fogjuk megnézni azért, hogy ezt a nagyon nagy kapacitás erőforrást hatékonyan ki tudják használni a kutatók mindenki a saját céljára, a saját kutatási területére. Tehát ez lenne a forgatókönyv a következő időben.
Köszönöm szépen! Hogyha vannak olyan programok, amiket nekünk majd le kell töltenünk, telepítenünk kell a saját gépünkre, akkor javaslom, hogy a honlapra azt töltsük fel, hogy onnan legyen elérhető. A másik észrevételem pedig az lenne, hogy előfordulhat, hogy időközben majd kiderül, hogy egy olyan foglalkozást kell tartanunk, ahol az alapvető Unix parancsokat végigvesszük, hogyha esetleg ütetásnál legyőző Windows-hoz van szokva. És ez oly mértékben szükséges.
Bár, akár ez is lehet természetesen, tehát hogyne ez is benne van. De igazából grafikus felületet is tudunk kapni, tehát ugye a mostani Unix operációs rendszereknek ez a Windows-szerű, tehát fájlkezelő és különböző alkalmazás indító lehetőségeik megvannak. ami nyilván egyszerűsíti a használatot, de ahhoz ugye azt a bizonyos grafikus kapcsolatot ki kell alakítani. Ettől még természetesen értelme van a karakteres, tehát úgynevezett command line interfésznek, amikor ugye a Unix-ot közvetlenül karakteresen vezéreljük, és akár ugye belőle indítunk további programokat, például szoftverfejlesztő környezetet, vagy compilert, vagy egyéb dolgokat. Tehát az nyilván igen, szükség lesz erre is.
Kérdés, hozzászólás, parancsolj?
Nem, egy konkrét kérdésem. Én már egy ideje használom a szuperszámítógépet, de mindig Linux-os gépről szoktam bejelentkezni, és viszont volt egy olyan gondom, hogy áramszünet volt a kémiám, és akkor be akartam jelentkezni. És az lenne a kérdésem, hogy a Linuxon generál SSH kulcsot a Windows-ba kutyon keresztül, hogy lehet neki beadni, hogy engem beengedjen, mert a kutyba kutyos generált kulcsot várna.
Na, pontosan ezek a dolgok, abszolút jó a kérdés, és aktuális. Igen, ismerem a problémát, amit felvetettél. Ezekre fogunk többek között választ, mert ehhez még hasonló kérdésekre fogunk választ kapni, szerintem már a jövő héten is, és bátorítok mindenkit, hogy aki már esetleg eddig használta és a szuperszámítógépet és bármilyen a kapcsolódással összefüggésben lévő kérdései, problémái adottak, azokat egész nyugodtan majd nyilván a kérdés résznél tegye fel az előadónak, hiszen az előadók tényleg profi kollégák lesznek, akik nap mint nap nyúzzák és tekergetik a szuperszámítógépet, tehát olyan kollégák lesznek, akik kisújjukból rázzák ki a válaszokat a kérdésekre, úgyhogy igen, tehát hasonló ilyen kérdések abszolút, tehát hogy akkor hogyan kell a kulcsot legenerálni, nyilván ennek ugye a logikáját, nyilvános kulcs, publikus, tehát a publikus kulcs, privát kulcs, az hova kell feltenni, hogyan történik a második SSL kapcsolattal, ugye a port összerendelése, hogy a lokál port 20.000-en keresztül elérjünk egy távoli gépnek a mondjuk a grafikus kártyáját, stb. Ezeket mind-mind el fogják magyarázni, és ha éppen ugye olyan kérdés lenne, amit abban a pillanatban, vagy azon az előadáson nem magyaráznak el, akkor nyugodtan a kérdés résznél fel lehet tenni, és ebből is tájékozódni fogunk tudni, hogy a kedves kollégák részéről mik az igények. Tehát most azt látni kell, hogy ugye egy ilyen bejáratós időszakon vagyunk, vagy annak az egyenesében vagyunk, de utána aztán nyugodtan jöhetnek az igények a kollégák részéről, hogy milyen témáról szeretnének óhajtanulnak hallani a felhasználás területéről, tehát akár a programozás, speciális programozás, akár a használattal kapcsolatosan, és akkor olyan tanfolyamokat fogunk, olyan hozzáértő kollégákat fogunk valahonnan a földkerekségről felgöngyölíteni és meghívni, hogy tartsanak nekünk előadásokat, annak érdekében, hogy ez a know-how, és összegyűjjön tényleg az a tudás, ami a hatékony használathoz kell. Tehát ez lenne a gondolat.
Köszönöm szépen, Zoli. Tehát akkor egy hét múlva egy olyan előadást szeretnénk hallani, ami egészen a kezdetektől fogva szépen fokozatosan bevezet oda, hogy be tudjuk kapcsolni, be tudjunk jelentkezni, elindítani egy programot.
Jó.
Input, output, tehát valamilyen egészen kezdőfokon. Most lehetséges az apró problémáknak az ismertetésében, akár te vagy a kollégák itt helyben sokkal inkább segítségünkre tudnak lenni, mint valami nemzetközi hírű szaktekintély, aki két emelettel magasabbról nézi ezt az egészet, és nem a mi hétköznapi dolgainkat helyezi előtérbe.
Igen, igen, persze, 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 hogyne. Tehát, sőt, az jutott eszembe nekem, hogy adott pillanatban nagyon szívesen vennénk azt a mondjuk kezdeményezést, hogyha valaki akár a hallgatóság köréből saját tapasztalatával kapcsolatosan szeretne előadást tartani, nagyon szívesen gondolom, le tudjuk építeni az előadások közé, Már csak azért is, ugye, hogy ha rögzítünk, akkor utólag nem kell őt folyamatosan abban a témában megkérdezgetni 66-szor, hanem azt mondja, hogy igen, hát nézd meg ott a videófilmben, részletesen elmagyaráztam azt a témát, és akkor nyilván ezzel sokkal hatékonyabban más személyek is előrébb vannak, mint hogy 19-szer elismételje 19 kollégának ugyanazt a választ a kérdésére. Tehát, hogyha valaki részéről lenne, ahogy az, ugye haladunk előre, szándék, óhaj, hogy akár önmaga tartson előadást, akkor nyilván ugyanilyen konstrukcióban, tehát helyből találunk rá megoldás arra, hogy ugyanígy lehetősége legyen, és akkor hasznos dolgokat mondjon a többiek számára. Valószínűleg ez egyébként is érdemes lenne, majd a második turnusban, amikor ugye célirányosan az egyes csoportok tevékenységével kapcsolatosan lehetne akár egy ilyen órás bemutatót tartani, csak azért, hogy ugye a kollégák is lássák, hogy a másik csoport hogyan előre a saját témájában, ha erre van kezdeni, vagy igény, akkor azt gondolom, hogy ezt érdemes lenne megfontolni.
Köszönöm szépen! Senki többet csak harmadszor, akkor nagyon szépen köszönjük, találkozunk egy hét múlva. Köszönöm szépen!